Thank you again. I want to start by saying I really welcome this conversation at this exact moment. As we close the calendar decade of the 2010s and look to the 2020s, we also have the opportunity to look at the International Decade for People of African Descent at its midpoint and to take stock of where we've been and where we will go. And to that end, the Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent appreciates the interventions of the regional groups and the member states this morning, as well as civil society. In reality, at the beginning of the International Decade for People of African Descent, compared to today, and even at the beginning of the 2010s, we were holding a different set of understandings with respect to racial discrimination in our societies. We were seeing more visibility and more diversity in that visibility from people of African descent in public life. Michelle Alexander's groundbreaking work, The New Jim Crow, came out in 2010 and deeply informed criminal justice conversations globally, encouraging policymakers and legislators to recognize the racial imperatives of the war on drugs and that its policies served more effectively as mechanisms of racial control and racial discrimination than as mechanisms to control or curb the trafficking of narcotics. The complex framings evident in the DDP and the Durban Declaration and Program of Activities, linking enduring racial discrimination to legacy networks, relationships, mindsets, and exploitations that extend back to the trade and trafficking in enslaved Africans and the colonial period, these are still evident in contemporary societies, and they were informing our steps forward at the beginning of the International Decade for People of African Descent and the current calendar decade that we're finishing up right now. The three pillars for the international decade, recognition, justice, and development, reflected these enduring themes of racial injustice, but also the optimism of our enlightened views and real progress in framing and fighting racial discrimination. Much less on our radar is the resurgence in hate crime incidents, and incendiary political rhetoric against people of African descent, which at the time was in its infancy. In the course of this calendar decade and in the course of the international decade, we've seen a real shift. In many countries, we are seeing political discourse instrumentalized against people of African descent as a means to gain or consolidate power. Even more troubling, it's been effective. There's been a rise in hate speech and hate crime, and in some of our most developed nations, there's been a troubling attempt to justify a tolerance of racial discrimination or racial hatred, including at the intersections of gender and gender identity, disability, belief, sexual orientation. There's been a troubling attempt to tolerate and justify racial discrimination within our commitments to freedom of speech or freedom of religion. We've seen tremendous violence suborned and also in intersectional spaces, including violence against women of African descent and violence against trans women of African descent. These should challenge the very legitimacy of our human rights frameworks if we are serious about giving recognition equally and universally. We've also seen, however, a rise in violence against the very human rights defenders who shine a light on injustice and demand better, including people of African descent. In the course of this decade, we've also seen the rise of new forms of racial discrimination. With the rise of big data, we've seen racial discrimination in artificial intelligence products that disproportionately burden and penalize people based on race. Facial recognition software, these are commercial products, used by governments worldwide, have up to 33% error rates on dark skin faces, like people of African descent, but as low as 1% error rates on white faces. If these statistics were reversed, we would question the legitimacy of these commercial products, their use and their sale, and the law enforcement schemes that instrumentalize them. Healthcare algorithms, like one recently reported on in the United States, where I'm from, may also direct lesser care for people of African descent with the exact same medical symptoms and conditions as white people. We understand that these disparities are related to carelessness about how pervasive racial discrimination may result in algorithmic bias, how the lack of disaggregated data and data sets that offer visibility specifically based on race impact us, the lack of diversity in hiring in the technological fields, and ongoing false rationalizations that people of African descent don't fit the culture of some of these operating and employment environments. However, the algorithmic bias that we're talking about here is particularly challenging for human rights frameworks, including legal systems, to recognize and remediate. And yet, this is a rise of racism in this decade. In our country visits, in our communications, and in our other work, the Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent has the opportunity to talk to people of African descent globally. It remains stunning to us how similar their stories and concerns are country to country. We see lesser access to opportunity and education, including the ways that racial stereotypes condition people in power to fail to recognize the potential and the talent and the teachability of children of African descent. We see structural barriers to entry and promotion in the workforce, even for those with very high levels of education. And we see how local subjective decisions around housing and employment perpetuate racial inequality and injustice. We see the ways in which a failure to keep and maintain disaggregated data often hides or minimizes race-based human rights violations and abuses by whitewashing them into mainstream data analytics. In short, we see the need for a focus on people of African descent that is intensifying, not diminishing, throughout this decade. We see the need for a focus that requires more dedication, more commitment, and broader perspectives to guarantee the promise of racial equality and racial justice. We see the recognition in the Durban Declaration and Program of Action that the legacies of the trade and trafficking in enslaved Africans in the period of colonialism have enduring legacies in global mindsets and relationships and networks. And these create and perpetuate structural racism wherever we look for it, wherever we can measure it. This is a problem that's getting worse, not better. And so we have our work cut out for us. Thank you.